Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is the Wednesday edition of the Lombardi Line. I am Dave Ross here at Circus Sports, fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. He is Michael Lombardi back in the East Coast. Michael, what's your temperature there in Jersey? Because it was in the 30s on my drive into work this morning.
We got you beat, David. It's like 45. It was 55 yesterday. I mean, we've had this warm spell come through the east, which I don't anticipate staying much longer. But it's been kind of nice. I haven't had to put my hand warmers on, you know. And so it's been kind of good, actually. I haven't even had to wear a coat in here in the morning. It's raining, but it's still good.
That's what I couldn't believe.
But I don't. Yeah, I mean, it's December, what is it, December 11th, right? Yeah. I don't think it's going to change. I mean, it's not staying like this. I'm sure we're going to get a cold spell because last week we were freezing. So it's all good. I mean, when I was at Indy last week getting ready to watch the Big Ten Championship, it was really cold, and then it broke, and then we got nice weather on Saturday. So that was kind of good.
This is the time of the year, obviously, in the NFL. We start looking at the weather around the NFL to see if it's going to affect some of these numbers. And we do have some injuries that are going to affect some numbers as well. The big one, we talked about it yesterday, Overshawn for the Cowboys. DeMarvion is going to be out for the entire week. Could be all of next year, too, Michael. He's going to be out for the rest of this year, of course. Every L that he's got, he tore. The ACL, the MCL, the PCL in that knee. Look, we're not doctors here, Michael, but when you hear that for a guy who had the other knee reconstructed, that was the loss of his rookie year. This was year number two. Couldn't complete this one. What do you make of that for the Cowboys? Because I know we were kidding about it with Elliot Bowman, our producer, coming in. It starts to make me think of the draft. And, you know, the Cowboys have so many needs now. Here's another one at linebacker.
Yeah, I mean, it's so classic, right? I mean, I love you, Dave. I really do. I mean, I've never seen a guy. Look, I like the Sixers, but I don't start working on the NBA draft until this early in the season, you know. So, I mean, it's amazing how they just have your attention captured, and you can get turned. I mean, you know, turning you around isn't like turning a huge ship around. I mean, you get turned around quickly. I mean, you're like a speedboat gets turned around. It's amazing how they capture you. All Jerry has to do is say, we're going to find a player, and you're all in. I mean, look, I don't see how this young man, with this, when you tear three ligaments, you're going to miss the next year. It's just impossible to do it. There's so much rehab that goes. And look as we've seen with Nick Chubb, right? We know Nick Chubb had that devastating injury a year ago, September, in Pittsburgh. And you know, he's not the same back that he was last year before the injury. We know that. Now, he may come back. I mean, like Devontae Williams from Denver.
Yeah.
He injured his knee. He's not been the same back since the injury. I think Tony Pollard hasn't been the same back that we – I mean, he's still a good player, but I don't think he's been the same back since his injury. So it takes some time.
And that's the thing with those players you're mentioning, Overshawn and Chubb and certainly Pollard as well. Explosiveness. That's what makes those guys, especially Overshawn, the way he runs from the outside linebacker position. You just hope that this other leg now is going to be fully recovered, but it could be a whole loss for Overshawn and the Cowboys in year number three. And that number, Michael, has moved significantly. We've talked about the Panthers not being a favorite in forever. Not only are they a favorite now, they were a point yesterday. Now it's up to 2.5 against those walking wounded coming in from Dallas. But really, it feels like, you know, we're kidding about me flipping on a dime, and I do. Like, had they won Monday night, Michael, I'd be talking about playoffs, right? And now you feel like this team is so deflated coming into Carolina. Is that a part of that 1.5 move, too, that it feels like all the air has been left out of the proverbial bubble here for Dallas?
Yeah, I mean, look, but I think they're still playing hard. I mean, I think that this whole notion where teams think that they don't play hard is wrong. I mean, the eye in the sky forces teams to play well because you're playing. I mean, Parsons is playing for his next contract. A lot of guys are playing for their next contract, you know, and they want to be put on tape that they're still playing hard. And when you loaf or you don't really try, that affects your market value in the next year. And so this notion that, well, they really aren't into it. I think, you know, I did the coaching show yesterday with Coach Belichick, and he made a great point. He said, if the coaches give up, the players will give up. Mm. Right? If the coaches start looking for jobs during the, you know, during the week and they're worried about getting fired, then that trickles down to the players, right? Coach Walsh talked about this all the time. And so when the coaches are invested and fully charged, and every week's a new week, like we're 0-0, and you take that approach, then the players will take that same approach. And I think that's what often happens in the NFL. Mike's fighting for his life.
Yeah.
You know, he's not giving up. I can promise you that, McCarthy. So they're going to keep playing hard, and I think that this will. Now, you know, I think to me, it is a little disrespectful. And I'm sure if I were Mike McCarthy, I'd be using, look, we're a 2.5-point dog to this team, even though we have Cooper Rush. I think the question I get asked more by anybody is, how bad must Trey Lance be if Cooper Rush is the starter?
Oh, I got those questions on X, Michael, and I keep saying, you know, they play. Like I've seen people ask me, they're like, well, why wouldn't you just try to play him? And you know the answer to this. They did play him. They played him the entire preseason to figure out. I don't know it's preseason, but they did play Trey Lance a lot, and they've had some packages for him.
A lot.
Right? And Michael, to me, Cooper Rush clearly is the better option there if we're talking about still trying to win football games. If it's really just developmental, but then it gets back to what you just talked about, right? If we're just trying to develop a guy, that means we've kind of waved the flag and we're not trying to win anymore, right? To see what we have. Maybe it's good, but we don't know. With Cooper Rush, at least it looks like a guy that knows how to run the offense. Can he run it like Dak does? Of course not. But at least you know with Cooper Rush, guys are going to be lined up where they're supposed to be. With Trey Lance, I don't know what that offense is going to look like. So you talk about it all the time. It's not coaching of one. You're not coaching one guy, Trey Lance, to figure out what he has. You're coaching the other 52 as well to still try to win. And I think that's why they're still going with Cooper Rush and should go with Cooper Rush. Right?
I think you're right. I think you just can't get into your offense. You can't get going, and it becomes a real problem.
Yeah, I don't see how you make that turn unless you really wave the white flag and say this season is done, which it might very well be. The Steelers are likely to be without George Pickens again this week. Michael, pretty good last week without him against Cleveland. I know inside the numbers, the Browns outgained Pittsburgh. But again, Russell Wilson didn't turn it over. Had some other options there at offense. This number went up to 5.5, 4.5, kind of flattened out at 5 again, where it's been most of the week. What does this offense look like without George Pickens for a second straight week?
Well, I think Mike Williams has kind of filled in a little bit for them and given them some explosiveness. He got called for an offensive pass interference penalty in the game against Cleveland, but then he came back and made a back shoulder throw. And look, I think Russell's throwing the deep ball as well as anybody, right? And I think to me, this is a game where it's every possession is going to be hard for both teams, right? You know, Pittsburgh is the best run defense in the league. The strategy in this game is going to be, what approach does Pittsburgh play when they take on a Philadelphia run game? If they stay in their base and they force Philly to have to throw the football out of base, what does that look like without Dallas Goedert? You know, they don't have the tight end inside.
Right.
So that becomes a different game, right? So if they go to nickel, can they run the ball effectively on nickel? Now, one thing that happens when you play in the AFC North, you have to play Lamar Jackson. And because Lamar is so good at movement, the Steelers' defense is conditioned to handle quarterbacks with movement. I think they're one of the best teams in the National Football League that plays moving quarterbacks. They understand how to do it. They have a really good, they have fast enough defense to do it. So I think there lies the answer. I think ultimately they've got to be able to hold up in their nickel. So they have the fast guys on the field to prevent Hurts from running around, but also to be able to get to the passer if they need to, but hold up in the run game, which is the most important when they're in their sub defense.
Yeah, 42.5, low total. I see exactly what you're seeing here, a chess match here defensively for Pittsburgh to try to slow down that run game, and maybe points will be at a premium in that one. I'm perplexed by tomorrow night's game here on Thursday night to kick off week number 15. Opens the Niners 2.5. It's still at 2.5. And yet, it's kind of like Friday Night Lights, right? Give me a running back. Who's going to run the football? Like, it looks like Isaac Garrido, he did not practice on Tuesday with a foot injury. We know they're already without Mason, without CMC, so they could be without Garrido. Patrick Taylor of Green Bay Packers fame could be the guy to carry the tote here on Thursday night. And yet the number hasn't moved, Michael. Does this say that, kind of like I'm kidding with Friday Night Lights, it doesn't matter who the running back is as long as you have the offensive line in front of you?
I think that's right. I think it's different. Maybe let me say it differently, but you're right. It doesn't matter who the running back is with Kyle Shanahan and Chris Forster as their line coach. They make every back look good, right? You know, they coach the details of the running game so damn good that it makes it really worthwhile. So I think ultimately, look, it's a challenge. I mean, they know they need him. I thought Garrido was very good in the passing game too. He made a couple. I mean, that made that great catch on the wheel route to go over there, which I thought was really difficult. So, look, the challenge is going to be blocking this Ram front, right? They've been very good. They've been feisty. You know, we know that. You know, look, if Bosa doesn't practice and Trent Williams is out with the ankle along with with his family situation, right, then it's going to be really hard. But I think those four guys probably won't play. Two offensive linemen. Now, Barsh, remember, was filling in.
Yeah.
So now they're down to their eighth lineman there. That really becomes a concern against a really good front.
That's the thing. And this number just hasn't budged. It's stayed 2.5. And again, great point about Kyle and Forster, you know, as the line coach. And it goes back to Mike, right? Back in his Denver days, it didn't matter who the running back, right? Orlandis, Gary, you get the Clinton Portises. They just kind of kept rotating running backs out. And they always seemed to have Mike Anderson. They always seemed to have like 1,000-yard seasons for those old Bronco teams. And it looks like his son, Kyle, kind of doing some similar things here with the Niners. But again, 2.5 is where it stands there, and still a high total in this one, 248.5 to kick off week number 15 in the NFL. Michael, we have a lot to get to. The great Will Hill is going to join us from Connecticut later on this hour. And Adam Burke, of course, is great too in his own right. He's going to join us in hour number 2, talk about everything going on in college football as well, plus some more line moves that we'll get to and some injuries that are associated with that. So don't go anywhere. Just getting it started. It is the Lombardi Line here on a Wednesday.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We continue the Lombardi Line here on a Wednesday. Dave Ross, Michael Lombardi here with you. Will Hill is going to join us in the next segment. He's very mad at me, Michael, because I think I think Will feels like that I signed Juan Soto away from his Yankees to the Mets. I feel like he blamed me. He texted me like congrats, and I just said sorry. You know, it's like one of those weird things between friends.
Well, didn't Cohen? I mean, it's all Cohen's money. It's not your money, right?
I didn't spend a dime. I didn't do any of this.
Yeah,
this is not me. You can't blame me, right?
Exactly. I don't see what he's all upset about.
Those Yankee fans, Michael.
What I think Will's upset about is what I'm sure most Yankee fans are upset about, is that the old Yankees under George would have never lost the player.
That's
right.
I think that's exactly
what it comes out to.
I know. They don't. It's no fun when the Rabbits got the gun, and now the Rabbits sit with the Mets on the other side of town. A guy who's looking for work today is Kadarius Toney, Michael, from the Browns. And it's something we were talking about during the break a little bit. When I see this and you go, man, this guy was evaluated as first-round talent. Obviously, the Giants thought so, coming out of Florida. They move him to Kansas City. We saw what happened there with Mahomes, the opening day game last year against the Lions. It feels like 10 years ago. Ball bounds off him for a pick six, and Lions win that game. And then I don't even know if we knew he was in Cleveland, and then he's out. As an evaluator, is the talent still there, or what people thought it was, but now a third team has said goodbye to him? Or is this more about, I just don't trust you to be where you're supposed to be in the football field?
Yeah, I think a lot of this is trust, Dave. That's a great word to use in this situation, because I think, to me, does he care enough about football? You know, I think that was the big thing about Toney coming out of Florida. When he went to the Giants, they had enough of him. You know, the Chiefs need a receiver. I mean, that's pretty obvious. They could use a dynamic receiver, someone who's good with the ball in his hands. And they tried. They made him a running back a little bit this summer in training camp to try to see if they get him the ball, because he is a very good punt returner. Remember, he had that punt return the year they won the Super Bowl that's in right. the Eagle game that really helped them. But I don't know how much he loves football. And I think because his lack of love of football, his lack of concentration, his lack of, for lack of a better word, playing smart, you know, that doesn't allow the coaches to trust that he'll do what he needs to do. There's always something more important than football. Mm. And I think that's ultimately why. When Cleveland cuts you now,
oh boy,
you know, this is who's going to pick you up now? Who's going to want to come in and take you and deal with all the problems?
Yep, it might be last road hotel here for Kadarius Toney, maybe in the offseason to get one more shot. But talented guy, but cannot seem to stick with the club. Third team has now said goodbye to Kadarius. One other line move I wanted to get to here very quickly before we really look at games that impact the playoff picture. It's the Cardinals and the Patriots game. I didn't think we'd be discussing this a lot, but we saw it at 6, and then it got down as low as 4.5. Like, Patriot money was coming in, and now that proverbial buyback has happened to get it back up to 6 here for Arizona. Like, I didn't see that fluctuation in the marketplace coming. What do you make of that, that the nibbles were coming in on the Patriots, and then the pushback here from the Cardinal backers got it back to the original 6?
Well, I think part of this is, look, we know the Cardinals aren't a dominating defensive team, right? We know they've got some areas of concern. And when we saw last week, we saw that the Seattle was able to run the football effectively on them. I think they're just a couple players short defensively. So if New England can run the ball, you know, with Ramondre Stevenson and, you know, Gibson and of course, Drake May moving around in the pocket, that certainly helps them. But I think, to me, the bigger concern is, can New England hold up defensively? They've gotten worse in every single defensive category from last year. You know, they have a hard time stopping the run right now, and they really struggle to stop the pass. They really struggle. Gonzalez is an outstanding corner for them, but they struggle to stop the pass. So this is going to be an interesting game. I think 6 is a lot of points, and I think people are looking at it saying, wait a minute, that's too many points. Yeah, Arizona is a better team, but, you know, nobody thought they were going to win as many games as they've had all year. And New England coming off the bye, maybe they're rested and they'll see what they do and they go on the road. But I don't, you know, one of the things when you watch New England, I mean, they lost the last game on a 2-point conversion and they struggled. They played really well. They moved the ball up and down the field on Indianapolis. They just couldn't, the situational football, they didn't do well. This will be a hard game for Arizona, because I don't think that the Patriots, with Drake May's leadership and the way he's been playing, I think they're going to play their best. Is it going to be good enough? I don't know.
Yeah, and this is one that Arizona has to get. They've lost 3 in a row here, 2 of those 3 to Seattle. They're now a couple games back there in that division. So if they have any visions of winning that division, they've got to beat New England come Sunday. Very quickly, before we talk about some of those playoff games here with implications, you got to play Pick 6 DraftKings. It's an official partner of the NBA. Very easy to get started. All you got to do is download the DraftKings Pick 6 app. You're going to select 2 or more players and choose if they're going to have more or less of a stat, like points, rebounds, 3-pointers, or more. Pick 6 players can play $5, get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now. Use code VSIN, that's VSIN for new customers, to play $5, get $50 in Pick 6 credits only on DraftKings Pick 6. You look at the playoff picture here, it's pretty well cemented. Obviously, when you look at divisions in the AFC. Kansas City, they've already won the West. Buffalo, they've already won the East. Pittsburgh right now sitting in that 3 seed right now, 2-game lead over Baltimore, who's the 5 seed. Houston winning their division so far. They are the 4 seed. Chargers, Broncos right there, 6-7. And then the Colts, Dolphins, and somehow the Bengals still alive. Let's start off with the Colts. They're going to go to Denver. Denver's 4-point favorites there. This kind of feels like a wild card eliminator here, with the Broncos now 4-point favorites and that total being at 44. So that number 7 seed, Michael, it really feels like it's up for grabs. I know you don't like to put more pressure on teams and players individually, but these guys have to know that, right? The Colts have to know is a great chance to get back in that playoff picture.
I mean, you know, the Colts are coming off their bye, and Steichen's probably first meeting on Monday was, look guys, every week's a playoff game for us at this point in the season.
Right.
You know, we're gonna coach playoff football. We're gonna be aggressive. We're gonna take our chances. We can't lose a game going forward. We're gonna play every game, and when we lose one, And if we become mathematically eliminated, we're going to start building for next year. I think that's the conversation. Look, they're two games behind Denver. They can't go three games behind Denver with three to play, right? Denver's in the driver's seat. Denver's coming off a bye, too. You know, look, the Colts defensively have been atrocious, and they give up a lot of points, a lot of yards. They play better when they get into the red zone. But this is a game where I think if Denver, who really doesn't have a great back, right? I mean, Williams, we talked about in the A block about him coming off the knee injury. He was a powerful man out of North Carolina,
right?
And he was a really good runner as a rookie, but he hasn't been the same player. McLaughlin, the young player from Youngstown State, is a really good loose play player. He's more of a nickelback. He's their Darren Sproles, if you will, in the New Orleans offense when Sean was there. Very good. And so I think, to me, that's kind of where Denver hasn't been as good as I expected them to be, is in the run game. I thought they would be much improved in that area. And I just think, to me, Bo Nix has been so good. And like I said, Bo Nix is a cross between Taysom Hill and Drew Brees because he gives Sean a little bit of both, right? He gives him that power to run the quarterback sweeps and do all that stuff. And he also gives them the chance to throw the rhythm passing game. Estime is the other back that I think, you know, he's only had 41 carries so far on the year. They need to get him going a little bit too, because he can run with power. But I wouldn't be as surprised at the end of this year in the offseason that you'll see Denver add a legitimate running back, because I think right now that's what they're most concerned with.
Absolutely love that comp, that kind of combo comp, if you will, of Taysom Hill and Drew Brees. Right now, he looks like all the part, Bo Nix, everything that Sean Payton thought he'd be and more. The Dolphins are fighting for their playoff lives. That number's come down from 3 to 2.5 against Houston. Houston can wrap up the South with a win and an Indy loss in Denver. Dolphins, they played like it last week, right, Michael? I mean, I don't know how they won that game against the Jets in overtime.
I don't know either.
Right, but they're down 8 in the fourth quarter. They rallied a win. That's kind of knowing what
by
you
six.
Need. By six. That's the key number for us. But like that's a team that's playing like they know they can't lose now.
Well, they know it. I mean, look, they got Houston, San Francisco. Then they got to go on the road to Cleveland and the Jets, and I don't really care. Now, look, it's going to be warm all week. I just checked here on the East Coast.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine it's going to be nice weather in Cleveland or the Jets when they get there. So there's no margin for error, and they've admitted that, right?
Yeah.
And I just think, to me, when you watch this team, like their defense allowed way too much. I mean, the Jets had their best passing day of the season against them. The Jets threw for 319 yards. It was Aaron Rodgers' first game over 300 yards passing. Mm. Pretty remarkable.
It is, and I'm right there with you. I mean, look, this might be their best chance here, and next week at home against the Niners, to win two games, get to 8-7. But do we really trust them in cold weather on a Sunday night football game in Cleveland if something's on the line? And then, dare I say, at the Jets week 18 in cold temps, they just... You know, that Green Bay game sticks with me. The Kansas City game in the playoffs last year sticks with me, Michael. They just look cold.
Yeah.
They look cold coming off
the
bus.
They look cold.
Right? And your head
coach
looks like he's
crazy. Well, the problem is they have no mental toughness. They're not a physically tough team, Miami. You watched the game last week. They throw more screens and bubbles than any team in the league.
They really do. We're going to have Will Hill. Cannot wait to get Will's thoughts, not only on the NFL season, what we have here in Week 15, maybe a little baseball talk off the top as well. That's next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are back on the Wednesday edition of the Lombardi Line. Dave Ross, Michael Lombardi here with you. It is always a pleasure this time every week to catch up with our guy, Will Hill. Does a great job in the network. He is the host of the Should Have Bet More podcast. For me, I'd say a top three podcast name out there. You can follow Will as I do at Not The Will Hill on X. And again, joins us again on the Progressive Guest Line. You know, Will, we're going to talk a lot of football here.
Yeah.
But I was looking, and I don't know why, I just happened to dip into the futures market in Major League Baseball. And I noticed that to win the World Series next year, the Yankees and the Mets have the same number, plus 850. Will Hill, if I made you bet today on December 11th, 2024, at plus 850, which team in New York's got the better chance of winning the whole thing?
So happy to be on with you guys. First of all, David, do not smile at me. Wipe that smile right off your face, or I will get on a plane and fly to Vegas and wipe it off for you. Do not smile at me. I don't want to see that smile. Lombardi, what happened with this guy? It's football season. Why are we talking baseball?
It's a baseball show. Well, it's a baseball show today.
Well, we had to get him off the Cowboys. I mean, he was ready.
Exactly.
Well, he was ready to go bet the Cowboys to go to the Super Bowl if they won on Monday night. I mean, he was ready to go do that. He couldn't help himself.
I was happy to see Leon Lett back on the Cowboys field. Look, this is a devastating blow for the Yankees for as long as we can remember. Since Moses wore short pants, the Yankees have been the king. The Mets have been the little brother, second fiddle. On the field, off the field, that changed Sunday night, 10 o'clock. I mean, let's just be honest. This is one of the best players in baseball in his prime. And the Mets came in, and the Mets, they stole the Yankees' girlfriend. Let's just call it what it is. This is a changing of the guard. It's a devastating blow for the Yankees. Now, the Mets still have holes to fill. We'll see if they bring Alonso back. They still need some pitching. The Braves are still really good. The Phillies are still really good. So the Mets are no lock to even finish, better than second or third in their own division. But if you're going to spend that kind of money on Soto, and this is maybe what made Soto sign with the Mets, my guess is more guys are coming. You're going to bring in some pitchers. They're going to bring back Alonso, and they're going to be loaded for the next 5-8 years. We'll see how that contract ages, but that's not, neither here nor there at this point. You got one of the best baseball players in his prime, and it's a devastating blow for the Yankees. I know Yankee fans right now are in a little bit of a sour grapes mode. Oh, it's too much money. We didn't want him back anyway. Nonsense. Him and Judge were a perfect pair that was so much fun to watch. And you can try to replace him with all these, secondary ancillary pieces you want. There's no replacing Soto. It's a huge blow for the Yankees.
Michael, that's all I wanted to hear.
Yeah, there you go. You got what you wanted. There you go. You got what you wanted. Now let's go on. Let's talk Army-Navy under. I mean, 38.5 for an Army-Navy game must be the highest number we've had in forever, right, Will?
Yeah, I was looking back. 2013 is the last time they scored 39 or more points. So 2013 was the last time they would have gone over this total. Now, there is one caveat. If you've watched these teams play, they don't play like typical. It's not pure triple option both sides. They do throw it a little more than usual. But still, I'm going to go with, history here. For both these teams, it's their Super Bowl. They come out a little tight. They know how to defend each other. There's the maximum intensity, a little tight on offense. So I'm going to play the history here and say we get another. I mean, you go through these games, and it's actually, depending on when and where you bet it, it's gone over the last 2 years, because 2 years ago it went to overtime. It was 10-10 late in the fourth quarter, but it went over because of OT. And last year it was 17-11. Some books closed last year at 26.5, 27.5, and it goes over. So you're getting another 10 points higher this year. Again, I know these teams don't play the same way they typically play, but I'm going to just stick with history here, go under 38.5. Yeah, I think it'll close lower. I'd bet it now. If you do like the under, I'd bet it now, because I think people are going to see the history of how low scoring this series is, and just, continue to pound the under until game time.
And yeah, it's come down too, because you're right, Will. It was I saw as high as 40 earlier in the week, so it's already come down. You're right, it's going to keep coming down, down to 38 in some places already. Michigan, you like the Wolverines against Alabama here. And again, is this a team that's got something to play for? And obviously the Ohio State game against a team that might be mentally checked out.
That's it. That's the handicap. And I would urge everyone, the College Football Bowl Guide, Adam Burke, and everyone did a tremendous job with it. And you need it this year more than ever, because, man, the opt-outs. And what's tricky is some of these guys will opt out, but they'll play. Some of these guys opt out, but they don't play. The transfer portal, there's a lot of moving parts. And let's be honest, when you're betting these games this early, there's some guesswork involved. I just don't know what Alabama's going to have in terms of interest in this game. I don't know if Milroe's going to play. I don't know how good the backup is. And Michigan finished the season strong. They beat Ohio State. They played well against Indiana. 11.5 for an Alabama team who's probably still stewing that they didn't make the college football playoff. To me, that's a hell of a lot of points. We'll see what happens with some of these star players for Bama. There's hints that Williams, the star receiver for Bama, might be sniffing around. So it's a whole new era in college football. You really, I urge people to get the guide, because it's hard to bet it without it. But I think this is a lot of points. And man, in these bowl games in general, it's hard for me, especially early, to lay points in any of these games, because they've always been glorified exhibition games, but the players, the coaches, everyone took it seriously. Now it's it really is like preseason football.
How about the Tennessee, which isn't preseason football, Tennessee, Ohio State in the horseshoe in Columbus, 7.5's the line here. A lot of pressure on Ryan Day. What do you like in this one?
I like Tennessee. I think this is a bad matchup for Ohio State, because their offensive line is so beat up, and there's just a bunch of guys that, are hurt and aren't coming back. And Tennessee is so good defensively with their front. They've got multiple NFL guys. James Pierce is a guy who's going to be one of the top picks in the draft. They've got a couple NFL players. And since McLaughlin, the Ohio State center, got hurt 3 weeks ago before the Indiana game, they have not run the ball at all. 3.3 yards per carry against Michigan, which was a disaster of a game plan, just a disaster in general. And against Indiana, they had 4 yards per carry, and that was a game they dominated time of possession, and they got like a 40-yard run. They got one explosive to kind of juke those numbers. Other than that, man, they were just running into a brick wall. They weren't able to get any push up front, and now you got Tennessee coming to town. And I actually thought Herb Street made a really good point on that selection show, which I think still might be going on Sunday, where we sat there for a half hour waiting for them to announce the teams. he said, hey, if they go 3-and-out, if it doesn't start well early for Ohio State, what's it going to be like playing at home? That home crowd can turn because they're annoyed. They've lost to Michigan 4 years in a row. That was an embarrassment against Michigan last time out. If it's 7-0 Tennessee earlier, if Ohio State goes 3-and-out the first possession, the second possession, that crowd could turn. They could be getting booed in their own building. That could make for an awkward sort of atmosphere there. I'm not sure that's the biggest home field advantage as you'd think. I'm sure Tennessee fans will probably travel too. So I like Tennessee plus the points. I think they're live to pull off the upset.
You know, Will, we talked about it a lot this summer, and I believe I saw you tweet something out about this, that like, look, the playoff, it wasn't necessarily necessary to determine the best team. But now that it's here, we're going to embrace it. We're going to watch it. We're going to like it. But these other bowl games that you're referring to, and that's why you have to have the guide, motivation's going to be, that's the handicap, right? Like, I'm looking at Syracuse laying 6.5 against Washington State. I think Syracuse can be fired up to play in that bowl game, right? Like, is that the way you have to look at the other games that are not in the college football playoff?
Yeah, absolutely. And let's be honest, there's, you know, pluses and negatives to all this stuff, to the college football playoff. It does hurt bowl season a lot.
It does.
You know, bowl season used to be, it would be the appetizer. You'd sit there and, you know, the playoff, whether it was the BCS or the 14 playoff, that was the main entree, and you have to wait for that. And meanwhile, you have your appetizers, the bowl games. Now, you don't have to wait as long. I mean, next Friday night, we have a playoff game, Indiana-Notre Dame. So it's fun that we don't have to wait that, you know, this long for meaningful football. But that being said, these bowl games are really going to get cannibalized. I thought conference title game weekend really took a hit with the juice, just because, all right, you're playing an SEC title game, Georgia versus Texas. Both teams are in. Big Ten title game, Oregon, Penn State, both teams are in. It wasn't like that in past years. It was, you know, you need to win those games to go to the college football playoff. That's just not the case anymore.
All right, let's shift it to pro football. Let's go over into pro football. And, you know, they're obviously, this is every game's a playoff game. But again, let's insult Dave a little bit. You like the Panthers laying the 2.5.
That feels personal.
A little bit. Insult them a little bit. Yeah.
This feels personal. Think the Panthers, he takes it so personally, Will.
They could have won the last four or five games. If Leggett catches the ball, there was still time on the clock, but they were right there with Philly and competitive in that game. They should have beaten Tampa. Chuba Hubbard fumbles. They play, you know, basically to a draw against Kansas City. To me, Young has looked viable. They've played hard recently, and Dallas is off of a short week, a devastating game. Any pipe dream of making the playoffs went out the window when they botched that punt on Monday night. So to me, this is two teams kind of going in different directions. I think the Panthers just have, you know, more to play for and are in better form right now. So I will take the Panthers laying the 2.5. I prefer the cheap money line. Just that doesn't feel right to lay points with the Panthers. I think this is the first time in 30, 40 games they've actually been a favorite, which is crazy. But I do like the Panthers here.
Oh, we're going to have Elliot strike that from the record. Monday night, how do you back the Bears, Will Hill? How do we do that?
Yeah, my Vikings are a very quiet, like it was 11-2, but they gave up over 7 yards per play to Atlanta. They get outgained by 200 yards to Arizona. Their defense is leaking oil a little bit. I don't love the way they're playing defensively. I will take the Bears plus the points. Anytime it's 6.5, you can wait and hope we get a 7. I think you probably will get a 7 in this game. But it would be Bears or nothing for me in this game. And, man, it's a good problem to have. But Minnesota is in a very tough spot here with Darnold because he's played extremely well. They picked McCarthy, you know, pretty early, 10th overall or whatever. They've got him on the rookie contract. But I don't know how you let Darnold out the door with how well he's playing here.
I'll just say this. If you were the GM instead of Brian Cashman, you'd still have Juan Soto today, wouldn't you?
It was fun coming on with you guys. This is like a dentist appointment. Usually I like coming on here. This is like just a dentist appointment. You just sit there, you close your eyes, and you get your teeth drilled for, 10 minutes here.
I thought you handled it well, Will. I really did. I thought you did a good job of handling that. Everybody. The great Will Hill. Check him out on X at Not The Will Hill. And check out his podcast. It's fantastic. They Should Have Bet More podcast. When we come back, much more to get to, including some more of those games with playoff implications. That's next here on The Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A lot of fun having Will Hill join us in the last segment here of the Lombardi Line. Dave Ross, Michael Lombardi here with you. Going to have Adam Burke in the next hour. You know, it was kind of therapy, and maybe it was tough love that we gave Will there with the Juan Soto discussion. We might have.
Don't throw me in the boat with you on that. That was all you. That was all you. I didn't say anything to him.
You know, you were attacking him.
I mean, yeah, you were poking him. It wasn't me. I mean, I was sitting here just watching it. I don't care if the Mets sign Soto or not. I don't care if the Yankees sign him. I mean, you know, when we're talking baseball, we're all working on our handicaps for football season, so it don't matter to me.
I had to poke that bear. We're going to have Adam Burke on in next hour. Maybe we'll give some Ohio State therapy to Adam, too, with that first-round matchup against Tennessee coming up in the college football playoff. You know, Will does like the Bears, though, and they're going to take on the Vikings on Monday night, and the Vikings can clinch a playoff spot. By the way, I feel like the Vikings, and I know sometimes it looks indifferent the way they've been winning here, Michael, but I almost feel like they're the least talked about two-loss team in the NFL, only losing by two to the Lions, and then the one possession loss, if you remember that SoFi game on the Thursday night where Sam Darnold got his head wrapped around, they didn't call the face mask penalty, which might be reviewable now next year. But do we feel like the Vikings are being undersold here? And I know Will likes the 7 and the Bears, but the Vikings just figure out ways to win.
Well, I think when you look at the Vikings and you see defensively that, you know, they give up a lot of yards, but they're only 6th in points allowed in the National Football League, right? And it's hard to run the ball in the Vikings. I know Atlanta did to a degree. And look, Atlanta moved the ball. Atlanta's the number one team in the National Football League and not going 3 and out. So Atlanta's a good offense. They're not a good offense scoring. They're not a tough offense, but they can move the ball. When you're the best team in the league and not having 3 and outs, you move the ball, which is part of the problem with Atlanta. They have no toughness. But I think when you watch the games, you know, you see this secondary for Minnesota. I mean, you give up a 99-yard touchdown pass to Will Levis. They're 29th in the league in passing yards allowed, but they're first in the league in interceptions created. So, you know, so it's a little bit of, if you just go by the statistical number like Will's do, and you're saying, wow, there's a lot of margin for error there. But eventually they took over the game in Atlanta. I was on Atlanta's side. I thought it would be a field goal game for the same logic that Will used in this one. Now, I happen to agree with them. When you play these interconference games like Detroit versus Minnesota, they tend to be a little tighter. And especially when you're playing a team that got embarrassed in San Francisco. If Thomas Brown has any chance to be the head coach, this is a game he's got to play well in or win. I mean, if he has any chance to even be in the interview room, he's got to play well and win. So, you know, you can move the ball on them, but you're going to have to handle their blitz package. What the Bears did in the first game when they played in Chicago, they were able to move the ball effectively. But I think to me, what everybody sees when they watch Minnesota is they see all these yards given up and they're saying, wait a minute. You know, their margin, they don't look like they're ever in control of the game, right?
Yeah.
And I think that becomes a little misleading. I mean, the last 2 weeks, they've given up over 400 yards, Dave.
Yeah. Their defense has been shoddy. If you go back to the first game, too, remember, that was the great comeback by the Bears to somehow force overtime that the Vikings won in OT. Didn't cover the number that day, 3.5. And if you had the Vikings that day, you're going, well, how did I not cover that number? Great comeback by the Bears, but it did come up short. By the way, right now, if you are not a VSiN Pro subscriber, you really need to be. VSiN.com, each and every day, too, you're going to have access to not just football, but Greg Peterson's got you covered for college basketball each and every night. Josh Appbaum with his NFL betting splits and his insights there. Zachary Cohen's got the NBA covered for you. Dave Tooley's got his takes in the NFL. Steve Mackinnon, great numbers for his analytics reports. And Jonathan Davis got everybody covered on the ice each and every night. So you get access to all the articles on VSiN.com. If you sign up right now, it's just $9.99 for your very first month. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. We know the Steelers have been a revelation, and we know that the Eagles have been, I think, who everybody thought they'd be this season, maybe a little bit better than what we thought they'd be. The Eagles can clinch the East with a win and a Commanders loss, and right now we know the Steelers can clinch at least a playoff spot, be it wild card. They can't clinch the division quite yet with a win in Philadelphia. Before we break down the game, which is 5-42, the number's coming down, by the way, down to 42. I know the Steelers have to be the bigger surprise here. You're not really surprised by what you've seen with Philadelphia, are you?
Not at all. No, I think to me, I'm surprised that I'm surprised they're throwing it, they're running it as much. I thought hiring joystick Kellen Moore that he would try to force this run, this passing game, kind of call it. But I think they've done a really good job, and he's done a good job of managing the team in terms of putting it and giving the ball to their best player, right? And so I think that's been really good, you know. And so I think that's how they have to play. And look, this is six games in a row where their offense has gained more yards on the ground than they have through the air. Now, this Sunday, it's going to be 50 degrees with rain in Philadelphia.
Ooh.
I mean, you can't get better weather than this. You know, it's been really remarkable. Even in Detroit, I know they're playing indoors, but even Detroit, if they were outside, it's only 43 degrees. So the weather isn't going to impact this weekend's games. Rain in Philly, which could make the field a little bit of a mutter, which favors Pittsburgh, because Pittsburgh wants – look, when does Pittsburgh get in trouble? When they go to Baltimore and they play on that turf, right?
Right.
Pittsburgh's a mutter. You know, if they were a horse in a horse race, they'd be the mutter. They'd be good mutters, but they're just mutters. That's what they love to do. And I think ultimately, look, they go to Indy this year and they lose to Indy. They got behind. Indy moved the ball on them. And you're saying, well, how can that happen? Well, when you get them outside without the mutter and they can't slow down the receivers, you know, the rush is still effective, but they're still not as good in the secondary. I think to me, this will be a mud game. And I think Hurts is going to have to make some plays in the passing game for them to cover this number and to win the game.
Jalen Hurts throwing the football in the rain. It does feel like kind of Steelers weather potentially there in Philadelphia on Sunday. Two teams.
But, you know, this game's going to come down to kickers, right?
Yeah.
Boswell, you know, when they beat the Ravens, he made six kicks. When they beat the Falcons, he made five. You know, they've won two games with just field goals. And we know Elliott's having a hard time making anything outside of 50 yards. Even in the high 40s, he's struggling. So, you know, when you get in these close games, it's these two teams, Philadelphia and Baltimore, have kicking situations where their kickers are really good. And you got to believe they're going to fix it, right? Tucker and Elliott.
Yeah.
But right now, you're a little worried.
I well said. Like, Boswell has become a weapon for them offensively when you're winning games with that guy. So that it could come down in a potentially field goal type game. Two teams that can't clinch anything, but they can tighten up those grips. That'd be the Buccaneers if they can win in LA against the Chargers. Tighten up that NFC South lead. The Chargers, again, trying to hold on to a wild card spot now that the Chiefs have already wrapped up the division here. Chargers laying three, the total 45.5 in a Charger football game. I mean, that's not the MO. It's normally not a lot of points. Harbaugh likes to keep the score down. Almost worked last week in Kansas City. What style of game do you think we see here in SoFi?
Well, I think, look, it's hard to run the ball on the Chargers, right? They're the number one run defense in the red zone. That's why they don't give up very many points. You can't run the ball in there. They play zone. They don't get into a man-to-man game in the red zone. So there's a lot of guys running around in a short area of the field. It makes it really challenging for the quarterback to throw the ball in those tight windows. They're really good. That's why they're good, because it's not because they run the ball quite a bit, which they do, but they're good because you can't run the ball in on them. I mean, that's really the key. And then they can run the ball in the end zone on you. So I'm surprised this line hasn't ticked up a little bit. Look, I think the Bucs are good. Mayfield can make a lot of throws, and their offense has been good. But I do think the Chargers, when they're in this situation, their toughness, their physicality, I think will shine up. I think this is a game they know they have to win. I think it'll be a tight scoring game. And I think I do agree with you. I'm surprised that over total's ticking, because I think both teams, you know, look, when you see the Bucs, I mean, they made those big plays. They got a 14-0 lead on the Raiders, and then all of a sudden they kind of went dry for a while before they were able to get control. So I like the Chargers here. This is one of those games where I'm really leaning towards, and I'm going to work on my notes today. But I think that's one of the games I think jumps out at me as, boy, I think they're going to win this one.
And you look at the ATS records of both these teams, really good. The Buccaneers 8-5 with the number. And how about the Chargers? 9-3-1. So they've been a really profitable team so far this season. So again, I'm with you, Michael. I kind of lean that Charger way, and I'm looking to that under at 45.5 here, as we discuss on a Wednesday. By the way, in sports betting and trading, probability, of course, is a key to success. So you can discover the power of high probability trading with Todd Bubba Horwitz. He's a former floor trader and sports bettor with over 45 years of experience. You can visit bubbatrading.com/VEASAN. Use the code VEASAN500 to save $500. So don't miss the chance to gain the edge in your trading game today. That's bubbatrading.com/VEASAN, and use that promo code VEASAN500. 500. Michael, we have a lot to get to in hour number two, including the game of the week that we're going to break down here, the Lombardi Line game of the week. It is the Buffalo Bills and the Detroit Lions. And when we come back to begin that conversation, Michael, I can't wait to pick your brain on the head coaching battle, because we all love Dan Campbell, but I wonder about Sean McDermott. It's sometimes some of the coaching decisions we see out of Sean, if it's helping or hurting. We'll discuss all of that and more. Hour number two of the Lombardi Line, straight ahead.